Hey, hi. Welcome to Someone Else's Movie, the original podcast where an actor, writer, director, or nebulous industry figure gives a little love to a movie they didn't make. I'm Norm Wilner, senior film writer for Now Magazine, and this is The Other Thing I Do. My guests this week are Michael Pugliese and Prem Singh, who are the screenwriters and co-stars of Tiger, a film that dramatizes the story of Pardeep Nagra, a Sikh boxer whose refusal to shave his beard to satisfy the requirements of the Canadian Amateur Boxing Association led to a court case that ruled in favor of his faith. Singh plays Nagra in the film, with Pugliese as rival fighter Brian Doyle. The film is in theaters across Canada and the U.S. right now. Michael and Prem went with Rocky, the 1976 drama that turned unknown writer and lead Sylvester Stallone into a bona fide movie star. You know the story. Heavyweight champion Apollo Creed wants some publicity, so unknown Philadelphia pug Rocky Balboa gets a shot at the title, just as he falls for a gentle pet shop clerk played by Talia Shire. It's an intimate little picture that found spectacular critical and popular success, scoring 10 Oscar nominations and winning 3 for Best Picture, Best Director for John G. Avildsen, and Best Film Editing for Richard Halsey and Scott Conrad, and launching a franchise that's still running after 42 years. It's also, obviously, an inspiration to Michael and Prem, and they apparently peer-pressured each other into bringing it onto the podcast. Works for me. This is someone else's movie.
Well, I had to follow him. I had to copy what he had to pick. So he's like,
Oh, yeah. Blame me. Everything. Let's blame Prem. No,
it's so iconic, right? You have, well, for us filmmakers, we like to look at Sly and see that he wrote the script too, right? And he had a fight to be it. And he was like living out of his car. He's like, and he believed in the story just as much as we believed in Tiger. And I think even just watching Sly now and seeing what he's doing with the whole trilogy, it's unbelievable. And for us, it's like we really wanted to do something like that for Tiger as well. We followed Sly, and we wanted to, you know, him and like even Damon and Affleck. But yeah, these guys like are paving the way,
right?
Making the film, I think, is another reason why we picked Rocky. But it's our favorite movie.
It's one of our favorite films. I mean, just to know what he went through personally and what he went through, you know, he was inspired by Chuck Wepner's story, of going 15 rounds with Ali. And he did such a fantastic job. But for someone who's not in the business, wasn't seasoned, wasn't trained, you know, it gives like other filmmakers kind of that, well, you know, if I'm not trained and I still love the business and I'm not perfect at my craft or I'm excelling in my craft, does it mean I shouldn't do it? Right. And as actors, you go to auditions and you get a bunch of rejections and you question yourself. Is this really for me? Should I be doing this? Maybe I'm not talented enough. And sometimes all it takes is the role either you create or that comes your way. And for guys like Stallone, for guys like Ben and Matt, those roles weren't coming, so they created it.
Yeah, and it's the thing you were saying about how he wasn't trained. People always forget. I certainly forget from time to time that Stallone wasn't a boxer. He was an actor who wrote movie about a boxer and then had to become a boxer.
That's right.
So that's a really like a terrifying, we were just talking before we started about my own OCD, but his compulsion to build himself up over and over again for the Rocky movies, and to be like in Rocky, I think it's in 4 when his muscles are just like insanely oiled.
Yeah, when he's like, it's like a cross between the Russian,
right?
He's like Rambo meets Rocky.
Yeah, yeah, he has like a fill light for his abs, and it's just all really precise and sculpted.
Oiled up.
Yeah, it's amazing to think that was less than a decade after the first movie, where he's still like, he's muscled, but he looks like a person. He looks like a guy.
But it's also cool because you see him as a boxer growing into the sport.
Sure.
Because when he's first starting into this league, he's an amateur. He's still a pro fighter because he's facing Creed in the first film. But he's not as developed.
Yeah, he doesn't have the time to work out and train the same way.
He's not taking it as serious. But the moment he starts taking it serious, then you really see the progression in Rocky, in Sly's body, and the way he moves in the ring, and the way he handles himself. He's the champ now. So I think if you ask anybody about any of the Rockies, they're all going to know what it's about and what it is, right? So it's such an iconic film.
Yeah.
So, all of them, really.
Well, what was your first experience of it? When did you guys first see a Rocky movie?
I saw it very late. I saw it in my 20s. And everybody knew about it.
Right.
But to really sit down and understand the struggles and to understand what the character is going through, you know, after spending years in acting class and really looking at that, you try to go back and you try to look at iconic films. And one of the first films I picked was Rocky, just because I kind of liked boxing growing up. And we both have been fans of the Fight Game. And when I saw it, and I was like, it's not a boxing film. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's funny how little boxing there really is in the first one. I showed it to, like 10 years ago, maybe even longer. Kate's niece and nephew were over from Australia, and they just wanted to hang out and watch a movie in our basement in the old apartment, which had a similar large screen. And they wanted to watch Rocky, because I think Rocky Balboa had just come out, and they had never seen the original. And I hadn't seen it in a good 15 years, probably. And I was struck by just how small and subtle it is. And you know, it's got the rousing musical montages and the training sequences and Bill Conti's powerful, powerful themes. But it's very sparing about them. It doesn't push the sports angle, really.
It's doesn't about, show it down your throat.
Yeah, it's just like a little love story.
That's right.
And then also there's some boxing.
Yeah. That's it.
We tried to make the same kind of with Tiger, too. Like, Tiger is this boxing story, but it's kind of like the undertone. It's really like a boy becoming a man and having to find himself and love himself before he could love others. And that's something like Rocky number one, too, right? Like, Sly had to really find himself.
That's right.
Before he could start getting good in the ring. That's right.
Get that support from Adrian.
That's right.
You know what I mean? To believe in himself.
That's right.
So, I mean, you're right.
There's very similarities between Tiger and... The more we talk about it.
The more that... I hope not. Oh, I hope it's not... Oh, well, it's comparing it to Rocky. And it's like, you can... Like, people... We get, like, people asking us, oh, do you compare it to Creed or do you compare it to Rocky?
Yeah. What's the elevator pitch?
That's right. And it's like... That movie, Rocky, is on a shelf, on a league of its own. It is one of the first boxing films. The Fighter. You cannot compare movies like that. You can't compare Raging Bull. You can't compare type of boxing films to Rocky, because they're just... It's not really a boxing film, but because the franchise has made it into this big boxing film, now it's Rocky's like that. But I urge anybody... If you're watching Creed, go back and watch the first Rocky.
Yeah,
very shocked to see how it's this indie film that...
Basically, yeah.
It's an independent film with a lot of heart. And Rocky 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way to Creed are studio franchise picks. So it's like Rocky's alone, and then 2, 3, 4, 5 are all just big budget...
Yeah, it's
studio films.
It's kind of fascinating watching the property pass back and forth, like through, because you know, in 3 and 4, he's chasing like a slicker level of production with the music montages that are now pop songs, and then in 5, after you know, they decided to roll it back, and Rocky has brain damage, and it's going to be a smaller film, but it's still on, so he still kind of tacks back in the direction of the big fight and the big payoff. Emotionally, if not like in terms of that, where the belt goes,
right?
And then in Creed, Ryan Coogler throws it all out, and it's ingenious. You're coming at this legend as a legend from the point of view of someone who's never seen it, never experienced it, only knows these stories stories.
That's right.
And then in Creed 2, Coogler's not available, so Stallone writes it, and it's another Rocky movie. Like, it is Rocky 8.
Yeah.
It's all about Rocky's legacy coming back to haunt this other kid.
That's right.
Which, again. I get it, but yeah, the first Rocky is this strange, pure little movie. He doesn't even win. Like,
yeah,
he gets to be a person.
He gets
to lose with honor, right? That's the whole point.
That's right.
And
you learn a lot about yourself if you lose, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an even bigger test, is how you bounce back from that. And then to see him in the second and the third one bounce back from it and become this champion.
Yeah.
That's inspirational, to say the least, right?
Yeah. But the first film is clearly written from hunger, right? Like, it's a guy trying to show everything he can do, and he puts all the emotional range into it.
That's right.
And he finds... And with, you know, with Talia Shire, he's got this amazing acting partner who is... It's funny. I was thinking about Talia Shire watching Shape of Water, of all things, because so much of that movie is people acting with and for Sally Hawkins, because they have to express the things say, right?
Also good.
Yeah, and here I realize with Rocky, Talia Shire's doing that for Stallone, because he's a smart enough writer to give her the harder emotional stuff.
Yeah.
because she has to come out of her shell connect.
Sorry.
And there's all this kind of footwork going on between the two of them, and she's carrying most of the scenes because she's, you know, she's in The Godfather. She's a seasoned actor at this point, and he can trust her. And I still don't know if that was Stallone or John Avildsen casting her that made that work. Because you think about who else was acting at that time, like the other actors who would have maybe been in a movie like Rocky, and they're all powerhouses.
Yeah,
they would have blown him, like they just would have steamrolled him.
That's right.
And she's this sort of gentle presence who takes what he's got and gives it back to him. And yeah, and in the end, right, her love is more important than the championship. That's the movie.
Because it's a love story, really.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Boxing is like the undertone.
Yeah. That's right. I think the franchise turned it into something what it really wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know.
That's cool to even see that evolve, right?
Yeah.
To see something so small become this beautiful thing, right? Like you said, I haven't watched the newest Creed, but...
It's fine.
Yeah, yeah, but...
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not the first Creed. Like, it's not... It's Rocky VIII. It really is.
Yeah.
Really?
It's way more interested in old rivalries. You know, the man who killed...
that's right.
Apollo Creed.
Creed, yeah. The man who killed Donnie's father is now trained his son to fight Donnie. And it's like, okay, but why are we doing this? Why do we as an audience have to be here?
That's right.
It's because Stallone wants to tie up all the loose ends. And it's not bad, but it's really interesting to see what happens when he gets his hands back on the property that isn't his anymore. And... How he's trying to steer it, even though it's no longer his story, and it's not being dismissive of the Creed storyline. It's just that it all has to sort of be about Rocky's past instead of Donnie's.
Creed, yeah,
yeah. So,
I'm looking forward to watching.
Yeah, it's still worth seeing. Michael B. Jordan's amazing, and Tessa Thompson's awesome. Great, and
Stallone. I heard the chemistry between the two is awesome.
They're wonderful together. Yeah. They were great in the first one, and now there's something deeper going on, which actually really really works for the story. And we spend time in the world, not enough time in Philly, because the first Creed is all about going, figuring out where home is.
That's right.
Right.
And so this one's really more in LA, and Russia in the end. But, there's still I can't deny, I saw it with an audience, they were invested in it way more than I was, because they didn't know who the actor was who played Rocky's kid in Rocky Balboa. And so when he shows up at the end in this one, which, you know, because they talk about him for the whole movie, it's like, of course he's going to be there.
Right.
But people were stunned at who it is, because it's, spoiler, it's Milo Ventimiglia.
From
now he's super famous for This Is Us, right? But he was playing him in Rocky Balboa 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Was that him?
Everybody forgot, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. My God.
At the time it was a big deal, because he was on Heroes, which is like totally down the memory hole now.
But
he's also the perfect actor to put against Stallone, because they kind of have that facial thing.
So he was in it. He came to the end?
Yeah, he shows up.
That's awesome.
I figure Creed 2's been out for a few weeks. We can talk. But it's... none of this would have happened without the first film. And
for sure.
As you said, like, you wouldn't have seen any of this coming from that original movie. It's just such a small, different film.
And that's why when people look at and whatever they have to say about any of the films, these franchise films of Rocky, you always have to go back to the first one and see why it turned into what it turned into.
Yeah.
Instead of judging I didn't like this movie because it was like this and they should have done this. Well, go back and watch the first one and kind of understand where the heart of the whole franchise lies.
Yeah, it's like the purest execution.
That's right.
So, was there an overt influence? You said that, you know, like it's on a pedestal, but did you, while you're developing Tiger, is there stuff in there that you sort of fell back on, or like, is there stuff in Rocky that you can't avoid?
You can't avoid, he ruined it for a lot of boxing films. And I think one of the things he did is that every boxing movie has heart. You can't eliminate that. Then it's just there's no substance, you know? So, I mean, when we wanted to do Tiger, we also wanted to give it a lot of heart, just in telling a different style of story and to kind of inspire others to kind of stand up for what they believe in, you know? So, I mean, with Stallone, he was the element of trying to find himself was one aspect of it. And that's also Pardeep's aspect of trying to find himself. But this is a guy that's living in a country, in a place where is alienating him because they think he's changing the sport because he won't change. And I think that that is, that's very frustrating for somebody who is born and raised in the country, that's studied in the same school, that had a diverse group of friends, never had these type of issues, maybe been bullied, but still not changing who they are. And I think that that's the separation between what Tiger is versus what Rocky is, because you have this guy who has the exact same amount of heart, that it has the exact same amount of aggression, the exact same amount of frustration and passion, but he's just someone completely different. And when we were writing this, you couldn't avoid those, you know, those elements of heart in a boxing film.
Because yeah. We did watch, I remember when we were watching all the Rockies, we watched Raging Bull, we were watching The Fighter.
Yeah.
And I think we got inspired and we grabbed little pieces here and little pieces there and tried to incorporate, you know, the really inspirational parts of the film into Tiger.
Sure. I mean, you can't, was Danny Boyle when he made Sunshine, the film about the trip into the sun, said that they were trying not to do Alien so hard that they ended up writing drafts of it that were so not Alien that they weren't anything. And that he said, you keep coming back when you look at the structure of this genre, it's always three things. There's a ship, there's a crew, there's a signal. And with Rocky, it's like there's a challenge, there's a romance, there's a goal, and they're not the same thing. But yeah, Tiger has, you're right, they all have the same trajectory because they all have to end up in the ring. They all have to end up with somebody fighting for something.
That's right.
Whether they choose to box for it or talk for it, it's the same,
mm-hmm.
ultimately, that's the same challenge.
You imagine if, you know, you do Tiger and there's no final fight.
Yeah.
And the credits roll when she says, yes, you can, you know, you can, you win. And that's it. We cut it there. Now, well, we're not like a boxing film anymore.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like,
but what are you?
Well, yeah, then what are you now? So, yeah. So now you, well, here's what the problem was with the film. They missed the final fight. There should have been a final fight.
Can you imagine?
You know, well, so.
And you don't do the thing, I mean, you have the scenes in front of commissions. You have, right. You have the big trial scenes, which is the other big thing everybody does in biopics, where you find right. a way to end it with a big speech.
Right.
Yes. That somehow sums up this person's entire life and also the movie's point. And it's really hard to do that well. Like, the one I always think about is, because it was fiction, and David Mamet could get away with it, with the verdict, that you don't see the verdict come down. You see the speeches, but you don't actually have the big scene with the big applause, with the big reward. You mm-hmm. just have Paul Newman's character hear what's, like, there's a question from the jury that explains everything without actually going right. into it. And then you're like, oh, that's brilliant. You're not going to see it. You're not going to see the verdict. It doesn't matter because he did it. He fought his way through. It would be like not knowing what the decision is at the end of Rocky. You need to hear that he
right.
wins or loses. But you also know by that point that it doesn't matter. That's not the most important thing in the film.
And we wanted to try to make that come across with Tiger as well, because the boxing aspect in that final fight really isn't the important part of it. It was being accepted and loving himself for who he is.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important story that we're trying to tell with it.
Yeah. I mean, you could almost get away with going, like, having him step into the ring because he's already been validated. He's allowed to go. But mm-hmm. It's a boxing movie. You need to see the fight.
That's it.
You need to see him prove himself after he's been let in the door.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So how do you approach that in a way that isn't a Rocky movie? Like, were there moments where you were trying to steer away when you saw the traps of just imitation?
Yeah, I think we, the first couple of drafts were like heavily into boxing.
Yeah.
Like there was a lot of boxing flashbacks and
yeah.
It was like it was a really big boxing piece. And I think because we were so inspired by the Rockies and these mm-hmm. type of movies, but the moment we started getting other team members around us and kind of helping us navigate through this story, and picking away at the boxing and bringing in like the struggle he was having in the ring and with his identity,
mm.
that's when I think we started, okay, you know what, maybe we should start pulling away some of this boxing, start adding in, you know, a lot of these true inspirational times that Pardeep went through.
Yeah. Was there a point when you knew you had it, when you found like your ideal formula?
I don't think we ever felt that we had it. Oh, I think even up until today, we're like, ah, man, that scene.
Yeah, we could have done this.
Yeah.
Maybe we would have changed that.
But we had calls with Alistair, because Alistair's from Australia, too. And he, because you were mentioning somebody else came from Australia.
Niece and nephew.
Your niece and nephew. Yeah.
They're from Perth.
Perth. I think he's from Melbourne, maybe just north. I think it's northeast around the island.
It's a huge island.
massive.
I don't pretend.
And it's all desert.
Yeah, I just know they're not near the outback because I got laughed at when I asked it.
No, but we would have calls with 3-4 hour calls with him before going to camera, and he would help us navigate through the script, the screenplay, and the story, and the arcs, and the
the character development,
And all that kind of stuff.
He really
the acts.
Yeah, he really took time to kind of structure it, help us structure it. He really took time to kind of guide us through this vision he had for each of our characters, and that was something that. Really, really helped shape the movie.
And then we had more trust in the script, right? Yeah. Because he came and he was giving his expertise, and then Alistair was kind of giving us validation that okay, maybe we're on the right path, and maybe this does have the full story, and we're coming across as something important here.
Yeah, it's always weird, kind of wondering with the Rocky movies, just how much Stallone learned from Affleck. I mean, obviously he hadn't come back to do Rocky V, so there was a trust there, but. You hear every story about how protective he was of the script and how he absolutely wouldn't sell it unless he could star in it and have some creative control, and then to not be able to direct himself because they were never going to let him do that for the first movie. But then to do 2, 3, and 4, and they're all so kind of slick. They're weird. They're like, they get away from what Rocky was, and it's his own hand on the tiller, which is just such a weird thing to realize. It's like, oh, he's maybe not his own best, and then you see Creed and it's like, no, he's not his own best director. He needs somebody else who can understand what he can do, and that's in Rocky and that's in Creed. And was there a nervousness in also acting in the script, that worrying about that same thing, losing control?
100%. Of course there's nervousness. I mean, from our perspective, we haven't, like, this is our biggest work till date, and this is you can't say we have a boatload of experience. We just trained and we worked extremely hard on these characters, not just writing them, but just like performing them, and working with our coach Marvin Hinz from Toronto, really breaking down these characters. And Mike does, he puts on a great New York accent, really pushing the limits and challenging ourselves. There's this big responsibility, especially where we're taking one man's life story, and we're not, we're doing in our best interest to make a great film out of it. And, hopefully it is well received by people. And that is going to give him that validation to say, well, look, there's this brand new guy named Prem Singh who wanted to play me. I'm sure deep down inside he's thinking of, well, I hope he really does, justice. I hope these guys can really tell my story. And, so there was this lot of nervousness.
But at the same time, I think we had a lot of trust, too, in the people that we had around us. So although we were nervous, because this was like our first major film and all this kind of stuff, but we had trust in Alistair Grierson, who directed this thing. We had trust in the crew and the rest of the cast to help bring us to where we kind of needed to be.
Yeah.
So although there was nerves, I think, definitely nerves.
Yeah,
we were calm once we had our team around us, and I think it helped us navigate, on set and our characters. And Marvin came out to set, and
that's right.
He helped us break down the script, and
that's right.
So I realized I never even asked. Have you run into Stallone at any point? Have you?
No.
What would you ask him? Now, having made your boxing picture, knowing what you know.
Wow. Well, what
is there? Just him? Is there just one question? I mean, is
probably
there
not. Anything?
Yeah.
I would probably
just be like this, speechless.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
that'll
happen.
That's the loan. But
I think, what I would ask him?
What would you ask him?
I would say, from where you've come from to today, what is your outlook on life, just in general?
Also, not even about the butthole boxing.
Not necessarily about that. It's just from where you were, what you wanted.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Getting... Technically, he wants to star in it. He wanted to be a big success. He got an Oscar for it. And look at, it's in history. It's in cinematic. He's a part of cinematic history. What is his outlook on the industry, on the business, about himself today?
Yeah.
And that's one thing I would ask him.
That's a great question.
No,
but like,
it is.
I wonder what he'd say,
right?
I think he wouldn't know what to say, man.
Yeah.
But you think about it, like, it's somebody coming from nothing. Not many people can say that they come from nothing, and he is where he is today. Like, I understand you auditioned, but look, this guy wasn't even getting roles.
Yeah, no, he built this for himself, really. I mean, he sat down and wrote it. And no one, we were already kind of covered it, but nobody really gave him any credit for writing all the other characters. Right, like Mickey, like he created Burgess Meredith's character.
Yeah,
he created, Polly. These are characters who don't go away.
Yeah,
that's right.
He made sure that Apollo Creed wasn't just a Muhammad Ali knockoff, and Carl Weathers did a lot to give him life. But like, it's all on the page before you start.
And for a guy that has, I can't say he has a boatload of writing experience.
Well, no, not then. No, right? I mean, now you can always tell a Stallone script because he kind of streamlines everything, and the dialogue is really, really simple.
Right.
But watching Rocky again, you just realize just how much of it is simply conversation and people trying to understand each other.
It's a lot of heart
and communicate.
It's a lot of heart on paper, right? There's a lot of heart.
That's passion. Right. That's awesome. What you just said. I put my thumb. Not my. We don't have that anymore. There's not a lot of heart, and I think people are trying to look for that validation and trying to look for other ways of being creative, which is, I think, is fine. But like, to create a screenplay and to create a movie, to me personally, I think it's so you feel great when you can kind of create something for people to enjoy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you're telling a story that hadn't been told before. Like, I think that's basically it. When you put something down on paper, you are literally creating it.
That's right.
But with, what you're saying about heart, I think this year we're kind of seeing a return of earnestness in a weird way. It's in Bradley Cooper's Star is Born. It's in Green Book. And I think it's just the space for the actors to find the scenes and breathe and be in the moment. And people respond to that. And that's what's in Rocky. Like, Rocky is... It's practically an indie film. You could do it now as a mumblecore picture if you wanted to.
Right.
I mean, it's basically about people who are struggling to express themselves, and that's as universal as a story gets. It just also has, you know, a sports narrative underneath it that you can root for.
That's right. And it's got that, still that, you know, you would say that just the average moviegoer would go and say, okay, well, I'm going to go watch it. So, like, you could give them a film like Rocky and say, well, what would you say, what kind of film Rocky is? And everybody have a different answer on what a film is. Some people say romance, some people say it's a boxing film, so it's just so amazing how one person can create something and everybody has different takes on it. And
I wonder what his take is on it.
I wonder, he must
if
be,
I asked,
that's
if
a great that, question, see?
What what kind of film is Rocky to you?
Oh, I think he'd probably just say, it's the best picture.
That's a good
ad. That's a really...
Yeah, the trick is to only talk out of one side of your mouth.
Oh, my God.
It shapes the same. Telling you.
Oh.
If I worked on
it. I feel like I just spoke to Stallone.
Thanks, you'll get there. It's fine. Sorry, I've also had 30 years of making fun of him. But no, it's like, I think it succeeded so far beyond his... I mean, everybody says they don't think they're going to win prizes and stuff, but I think you can also kind of feel that in a movie, if you write yourself a movie about a guy who goes for the world championship and loses, you kind of think it's going to get you something else.
Yeah.
And still succeeded beyond his wildest dreams and launched his career and the franchise. I think he would honestly see it as like... I don't know. I think he knows it's the best thing he ever did.
Mm-hmm.
And that also kind of must hurt because it's been 40 odd years of not doing another one, not making another film as good as that.
Right. And like, how do you...
Yeah, you chase it forever. That?
Yeah.
And now we get Rambo 5, apparently.
Yeah.
So, it's nice that he can...
Just blow some shit up, man.
I'm just worried he's going to have a stroke at this point. Just from all the flexing. He doesn't look well. Like, part of Creed 2 is that the character's recovering from leukemia, so he's allowed to look a little bad, but then you just think, oh no, he went off and made an Expendables movie right after. That can't be good for him.
Oh my gosh.
It can't be good for his body. But the first movie, like, and most of the sequels, they're pretty watchable, right? Like, you can come back to them for the warmth of the character. And that's the other thing about Creed was reminding us just like not only how good a character Rocky Balboa is, but how good an actor Stallone can be when someone else kind of nudges him and makes him do it.
That's right.
He's
amazing.
I could watch like on these marathons, I could watch Rocky 1 or Rocky 2, Rocky 3, Rocky back to back without a hesitation.
Yeah.
Not many films you could really do that.
It's kind of like you're doing something and then it's on and you just go like this.
Yeah, you're like totally just fixated.
I hope he wins this time.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I saw Rocky, I stumbled across Rocky Balboa on cable maybe just after Creed came out, I guess it was back in the circulation. Right. And I watched about an hour of it just going, this is really good. Like, yeah. He understood everything that worked about the character and found a way to tell that story again and have the boxing sequences be amazing, because they get slicker and then they get more ragged, and then he shot Rocky Balboa with digital cameras, like little flyweight ones, and just you're right in the ring, and then Coogler builds on that with Creed. You can see him responding to stuff and developing.
And our stunt coordinator with Tiger, Mark D'Alessandro, he was a stunt coordinator for all the Rockies. He's actually Sly's stand-in.
Okay.
So when he came to set, he was showing us all the tricks and all the, you know, behind the scene kind of stuff that Sly was doing with all the Rockies. So we would kind of work with him. We would have to pick his brain.
Yeah, what's that like? I mean, what does he know?
Cool. He knows, like,
he's seen everything. He's been hitting the head a lot. Yeah.
he's a stunt double. No, he just, a couple of the secrets with the gloves and how they kind of act. And Sly's like an awesome guy. How did he find Sly? They were in like an elevator or something. And he loves telling that story, Mark.
Oh my God.
He's like, yeah.
You know, I found Sly. You know, I was in an elevator, and I just went up to him, and I said,
"You're just missing the rice spitting."
Yeah, I know the rice spitting. And I just met up to him and I said, "Hey, look, man, I look like you." And he looks exactly like, like Sly.
Yeah, he looks.
And
like
Sly went up to him. And he's like, "You know, you do." And
you want to do the voice, don't you?
I do, but I just don't want to. I don't want to
see it in your eyes.
And that was it. And then he became, I think, one of the first Rambos. He became Sly's. Stand-in and stunt double, and then he became the fight coordinator for the rest of the Rockies.
Okay, and so we haven't got to Mickey Rourke yet, who's also played some memorable physical roles in fighters. So is that something else? Like, as an acting partner, he's giving you stuff that, like, it's on the screen. There's some strange energy with Mickey Rourke and his dog and the stuff going on, but. Did he have any tips for physical stuff? Any idea of how to work?
Well, when we first met him in Thing.
Oh, on set. Okay, yeah.
When we first met him, when we found him at the boxing club, we could, waited for him to show up, and we were talking for like an hour, and he was just telling us what and how to get ready for these roles in the boxing way, not really so much acting. But how to actually just physically
look. More about training?
More about training and how to physically look and feel like a boxer.
He's like, lift your shirt, let me see your abs.
Yeah, he's like, yeah.
He's like, what? I don't have abs right now. Yeah, man.
No, but he's like, he's basically to be physically ready and fit for the role. But on set, he just came and did his thing.
He's method.
Very method. Like, he wasn't really talking about characters and stuff like that. He just came and...
He never told us how to, do... how to play us or any tips.
Right.
He came and he was focused on himself, and I think he does a fantastic job in the film playing this guy. It's Mickey. Mickey left acting to become a boxer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, it's like you can't get more real than someone trying to portray a coach. And he wasn't, he wasn't this, we didn't even want to write him like this inspirational coach that is going to give this big speech about you got to do this and it's about you, Tiger, and all that stuff. He talked more about him and how Pardeep can learn from him
and his mistakes and his past.
Yeah, that felt pretty real. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like,
and that's what he didn't maybe say that to us face to face as like Mickey Rourke to Prem Singh or Michael. He said it from his character to Pardeep. Mm-hmm. And I think, which is why he was very isolated, and like everybody stayed away, and when he would come to set, he was ready to play. And in the scene you see in the trailer, he hits me in the face when I walk into the gym the first time. And that's not planned, that's not scripted, that's not written. That's Mickey. And when he hit me the first time, I was like, oh my, and it was very hard. It's very hard. And when you don't see it coming,
you get a real reaction.
You get a real reaction out of it. And this eye, you just see these little stars, and I'm like, wow. And then I said to myself, okay, if he wants to play like this, he wants me to do something, I'm not going to do it. I want to see how far he's going to take it. And then he kept doing it. And I said, you know what, this is enough. I'm going to pass out any moment now. So then these little things that he brings out of you as an actor, even a great scene he has with Michael, he smashes the cup. And when Mike, he's really good. He stayed in it. But the minute it was done, Mike's like, oh my God, I think I pissed him off. And
Everybody was like, because it wasn't planned. Like, we didn't plan. Did you get a chance
to watch it? Yeah, I've seen it.
So when he smashes the glass, that's not written in, right? So that's just him.
So it's also not a stunt glass. It's a real glass.
It's real. Like, we were like, I think it was like one of my mother's mugs. Like, I gave him like one of those. That's why I'm very consistent. But we got, so he just smashes his mug and nobody's expecting that. But yeah. It's so method. It's because that's his reaction, I guess, in that moment. He was just so fed up with it, he threw the glass. But we're still in. We're still locked in. And then when Alistair says cut, Mickey goes off to his room and everyone's like really quiet on set. They're like, everyone's like looking around. They're like, okay, are we okay? Yeah. Like, is everyone okay? Like,
yeah.
Everyone okay? Yeah. And then when you get a chance to go talk to Mickey afterwards, we're just kind of exchanging like how awesome that scene was and so on. But he came and he did his thing. He really came and he was just really focused.
Yeah, it's just, I'm always fascinated by the way people who've sort of been there and done this stuff before in a different context respond to a new, like, again, like the way Stallone is now playing old Rocky. Like, right. He's never an attempt to fight anybody. He's just there as a sort of a presence.
That's right.
And there's this weird echo. I felt like there was a weird echo of that just in terms of generational transition.
That's right.
Going on in Tiger as well, the old teaching the younger.
That's right.
Or the older.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not that I would ever want to call Mickey Rourke old.
Yeah. I don't think he wants to hear that.
No, he seems like he wouldn't like that.
Yeah, I'm so young. No, but I think it's also that old versus young mentality. It's also the rules too.
Tiger,
right? It's this old rule stating that you have to look a certain way and be a certain way in a boxing ring, and it's this new era of individuals that are coming into the country and being raised in this beautiful different faiths and religions, and we have to start allowing that in other sports and venues, right? So it's this old school versus new school, old school teaching versus old, you know, so it's like this really unique.
And nobody likes change. It's very hard to change the perspectives of anybody.
Sure. I mean, especially rules that have been in stone for
hundreds of years.
Yeah, right? But rules that were also designed unconsciously to keep out people who weren't conforming to the the majority at the time.
That's
and
right.
The world is different now. And yeah.
That's right.
And things have to do with that.
Yeah. And you get this internalized resistance too. It's just like people fall back on tradition instead of, well, you know, 100 years ago, people were way more racist also.
That's right.
Tradition, is that what we're supposed to do?
Mm-hmm. That's a valid point.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, it's not when they make it, but when I throw it back at them, I feel pretty good.
Yeah. Good for you, man.
But it is weird, right? It's weird that we're in a place where we're still arguing about this stuff, that we still feel culturally that we have to debate, you know, access. And
it's crazy because we say this too, like we're getting better, obviously, like, but to think that this story happened just 20 years ago,
exactly.
It's like, what the hell? I can't. Yeah, that's unbelievable. And it's still happening today. Like, well, there's still cases.
The cases are still going on.
Like, it's unbelievable. Like, there's a kid right now in California, 14, 15 years old, who's going through the same thing. He has a beard and a turban, and the commission won't even allow him to fight in the state.
Still. So there's no precedent.
In Florida, there's a female who wears a hijab, and she wants to fight in the Olympics for 2020, and they won't allow her. So we're still going through this ethnic change.
Right.
Not just in the U.S., but around the world as well, right?
Well, it's like, especially with the Olympics, right? It's, you're going to be the face of the country. Are you going to look like that?
Yeah.
And that's what...
But what if that's what the face of the country is?
Exactly.
But you tell that to a majority of the people that don't... See, it's the idea of, this is what my country stands for. And if it's a woman in a hijab, and they're watching a lot of CNN, and they're seeing a lot of these stories come out, they're like, well, people forget that the same person in hijab grew up in the exact same country as, you know, XYZ, right beside them in the same school, went to the same class,
listen to the same music, watch the same shows, watch the same movies.
That's it. You know what I mean? And have that same, and they have the same, like, diverse group of friend circle.
Yeah.
And now they are working towards something. They get the support from their friends, they get the support from their families, and now they're like, well, if you're going to represent a country in the Olympics, you can't look like, quote unquote, a terrorist.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the undertone was, what we also wanted with Tiger, is that when people hear the concept of the movie, and it may sound ridiculous, well, it's just hair. Well, go cut your hair and come back, and then you can fight for your country. But it's like we're told on one hand, especially with social media, love who you are, accept who you are. And then you're told on the other hand, well, you have to change sometimes if you want to...
Yeah, go along to get along.
Yeah, that's right. And even when, you know, with us, we, from the very beginning, we've been getting backlash because it's, oh, who wants to see a guy in a turban and beard? You know, oh, this, you know, they're making a movie about racism. Now we've seen so many of those. And it's like, it's, you know, I think they're missing the point on the fact that we're just trying to inspire people that they don't, we're just reassuring them that they don't have to change who they are.
Yeah. But you're also, you know, you're sending a message to people who do have turbans and beards that they can be in movies too.
That's right.
That there's a world that accepts all of that.
Like, that's right. Exactly. We don't just want to educate, you know, the uneducated about a misunderstood religion, which is Sikhism. Not many people understand why one chooses to have a beard and a turban. And if they don't understand through Tiger, at least we try to open that conversation elsewhere.
Sure, yeah.
But like you said, it allows other young filmmakers to come up and say, wow, if this Sikh guy is wearing a beard and a turban with no accent and he's, you know, showcasing our faith, our religion, I could do it too.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you start seeing more ethnic films, you start seeing more diverse cast and filmmakers, and it's a really, really beautiful thing. So, and that's exactly what we're trying to, what we tried to do with Tiger.
Yeah, representation is, I mean, it's something that...
It matters.
Something that hasn't been talked about enough and still isn't being talked about enough. But yeah, it absolutely matters. And, you know, just as Rocky paved the way for Italian-American boxing knockoffs that happened throughout the 80s. Let's hope Tiger... I hope Tiger inspires additional films, additional ideas. They don't just have to be about standing up to prejudice. They can just be about anything.
That's right. And that's, I think, as a... Even a South Asian actor, it's like... You want to break that stereotype and just be a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like you don't have to define. I don't have to have, you know, this whole cultural background or a Bollywood song and dance to go along with my movies. And, you know, you want to break that. And just like how African-American or black actors like Denzel Washington, Will Smith, all these guys, they're just guys. But I'm sure they had these scripts come their way or... You know, people try to pigeonhole them into being very stereotypical roles. You know, they did. You know, I look at that and I say that's inspiration for me. Right? Look what these guys have done. So,
yeah. So what's next? Are you guys writing another one? Or?
Yeah, we have a company, Running Tiger Films. We have a couple of screenplays that we've written, a couple of other true stories, inspirational true stories that we're working on. But you know, we're getting a couple of scripts, offers that we're reading too. So we'll see what
What's next?
See what's next?
More boxing.
No.
But you already trained.
Yeah.
No. No more boxing.
I think our
genre of films are very like drama. We do like storytelling. We are big fans of cinema.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too crazy for the streaming stuff. I love to sit in a cinema hall and just get lost in a story.
Sure.
And I don't want to lose that. I really don't. And I don't want the next generation of kids to kind of lose that, because you could watch, you know, sitting at home is one thing, but like sitting in a movie theater, you can
it's
never
a different experience.
Replicate. You can, yeah, you can't experience. Replicate that.
Oh yeah, good. Keep doing that.
Yeah.
We need more of those.
That's the plan.
My thanks to Prem Singh and Michael Pugliese, who you can see co-starring in Tiger, which they also wrote, in theaters across the U.S. and Canada right now. Thanks as well to Brianna Hurley. She knows what she did. You can find Prem on Twitter at Team Prem Singh, all one word. And you can find Michael at MJPUGLIESE, underscore. That's MJ Pugliese with an underscore. Or just search his name. And you can find Rocky on Blu-ray and DVD in a very good special edition from MGM Home Entertainment, as well as in an endless series of box sets featuring the Rocky franchise. It's also available on iTunes and Google Play. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Norm Wilner and elsewhere on the internet at NowToronto.com. You can also find this podcast on Twitter at Semcast, S-E-M-Cast, and on the web at SomeoneElsesMovie.com. If you feel like leaving a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoy the show, that would be greatly appreciated. Every little bit helps, it truly does. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening.